Planning Commission will now come to order. We will begin today's meeting with the section on housing and redevelopment. Will the secretary please open today's meeting?
Housing and redevelopment number 30. The manner of communication dated April 30th, 1963 from the president of the borough of Manhattan to make 27th Street a two-lane eastbound street.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of number 30? Anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Ms. Smith, please close number 30.
Number 30 is closed. Number 31, Housing and Redevelopment, Borough of Manhattan. Manner of communication dated May 15, 1963, from the New York City Housing Authority, requesting on approval for a private housing project proposed to be erected on a site within the blocks bounded by 2nd and 3rd Avenues and 2nd and 4th Streets.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of this new project? Yes, sir. Please state your name.
I am John Stevens, and I represent the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. My company would like to put up four brand new apartment buildings, each 22 stories high, in the blocks where they are now located, old, shabby, dilapidated buildings. We will tear down these old buildings and replace them with modern ones. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of number 31? Yes, sir.
My name is Mr. James Evans, and I am vice president of AMP Grocery Chain. My company is planning a modern new self-service grocery store on 3rd Avenue and 4th Street. Right there. But until these buildings that stand there now are removed, we can't do a thing. And in conclusion, I would like to say that I hope this project is approved and these old good-for-nothing buildings are removed. Thank you.
Water. I'm going to have to ask the audience not to applaud. It only wastes time. Now, is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project? Yes, miss.
My name is Miss Margaret Jones, and I live across the street from where this proposed development is going to be. And I say, put up these new apartment buildings and tear down these tenements and old rat traps where they're no longer safe to live in. Why, just the other day, I saw a group of children playing near that old Treadwell house while a brick fell off the old chimney and hit one of the youngsters. They had to take him to the hospital. Speaking on behalf of my neighbors, I think these old buildings should be torn down and replaced by new ones.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this new project? Anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Yes.
I am Miss Madeline Burns. And, well, I have lived in this neighborhood all my life. Where would I go? I am too old to move now. Why, when I first came to live in this neighborhood, many years ago, when I was a little girl, the Treadwell House was still one of the most elegant homes in the city. And now this gentleman proposes to tear it down. It is true that over the years, this neighborhood has deteriorated along with this fine old house. But must we destroy all the precious memories of the past? Shouldn't the city restore them rather than destroy them?
Water. If there are any more outbursts of this kind, I will have the people removed from the room. Now, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, I am Mrs. Frances Treadwell. The house under discussion happens to be one which my great-grandfather built in the 1830s. At this time, this section of New York was one of the finest. I strongly urge that this house not be torn down, but restored to its natural grandeur as a mansion, and be open as a museum to the public of New York. The landmarks of New York are slowly being destroyed, and I feel that this house should be saved.
Oh, what are we doing?
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
I am Margaret Liebman, and I am here to represent the American Historical Society. As you probably know, our society is interested in preserving old landmarks in the city. Should be preserved. There are many stories and legends connected to this house, and our organization is interested in acquiring this property with the purpose of restoring it and opening it up as a museum for the children of the city. I suggest...
Stop! I've heard enough! I say tear down these old dilapidated eyesores and put up the much-needed apartments and supermarkets.
Listen to the here. She says it will corrupt her morals.
Do you think it will corrupt our morals, Evelyn?
Well, Mother says it will do no harm if her partner is chaperoned. But I don't think Miss Trevor will like the idea of James going with us.
Oh, she thinks it's okay for a young man to go to the theater. It's just young ladies who are corrupted. Nice girls from nice families don't do such things. And the Treadwell family is a nice family.
What do you know, Evelyn? The Treadwell place to access to way back to John and Priscilla Alden?
And it can't go much further back than that.
Way back to John and Priscilla Alden? I don't believe it. How do you know, Christine?
I saw it in a book when I was up in her attic one day. It says it right there. Elizabeth Treadwell is descended from John and Priscilla Alden. Poor Elizabeth.
No wonder she can't go. I'm glad my family doesn't have a history. But here comes James. Now we'll find out what success Elizabeth had with her parents last night.
He doesn't look very happy. I went to his father's store with birds in the fire last night. You know, it was the worst fire this city's ever had.
Hello, James. Where's Elizabeth?
I really don't know. I've been there at the store all day helping father. It's such a mess.
Was your father's store burned?
Well, we were luckier than most. At least some of the contents of our store were saved. Many people lost everything. That whole section of town is in shambles. It burnt all the way up to Christensen Street. It'll take years to rebuild.
Paper, paper, get your New York Sun. Read about the big fire. It destroys all business sections south of Canal Street.
Paper, paper, mister.
Paper, paper, get the
New York Sun. Famous old Park Theater burnt to the ground. What a shame.
We're lucky Fatty Campbell's playing at the Broadway Theater. At least the fire was full that evening. We've been looking forward to this for so long.
We came over to find out if your mother had changed her mind about letting Elizabeth go to the theater with us tonight.
You know, Mother, I don't think she'll ever change her mind about that.
Hot corn, hot corn, come buy my nice hot corn. Come by, come by. I'm tired of staying. Come by, come by. I'm tired of staying. Hot corn, hot corn. Come by my nice hot corn.
Look at that little ragamuffin. She's been around here all afternoon. Such a disgrace.
Go away, you little beggar. We don't want you around here. Go someplace to sell you. Else to sell your hot corn.
Hot corn, hot corn. Here's your lily white hot corn. All you that's got money. Poor me that's got none. Come by my nice hot corn and let me go home.
You know, there ought to be a city ordinance against beggars. Why, this is one of the nicest residential streets in town, and it's overrun with beggars. Say, here come Mother and Elizabeth now.
Oh, please, Mother.
Elizabeth,
how are you? Mother!
Elizabeth, I don't want to hear another word on this subject. You might not go.
Hello, girl. Hello, Mr. Chekhov. Did your father come home with you? Is he still at the store?
He said it would be late tonight.
That's a dreadful fight. Just simply dreadful.
Oh, but Mother, please, simply anyone seen Fanny Campbell. If I can't, I'll just die.
Elizabeth, my answer is finally. You may not go. Come, James. It is almost time for dinner. Goodbye, girl.
Goodbye, Mr. Chekhov.
Go with us.
lot of...
Station A, they'll send you a book on how to avoid the trap or get excited.
not in there. Come on, he must have went down the block.
You won't get away with guilty, you old fool.
Thank you, Mr. Treadwell. I'll make you run for it.
No, wait. You can't let this poor man fight off that mob by himself. You're right, sir. You're right, Fred. Come, sir. We will take you across to New Jersey until this nasty victim is over.
Thank you, Mr.
Come on, search every house. They must have gone this way.
Thank you. He's all right, but I did have to laugh when Josh put tax on his chair when he fetched
her. Oh, that Josh. He's always looking for trouble. I don't blame the rabbi for getting angry at him.
What are they doing?
Playing checkers.
Checkers? What's that?
It's a board game. You see, you move like this. Then you have to get to the other side. Then you're a king.
A king? Oh, Penny wasn't like that. He says there are no kings in America.
Well, it's only a game. Anyway, a king can move backwards, like this. Anyway, you see, you have to catch all your opponent's men or get your opponent in a position which he can't move without being captured, like this. See? You want to play?
Well, I guess so, but I'd like to play with my friend Mendel.
What did you call him?
Mendel, he's my friend Mendel.
In America, he wouldn't be called Mendel. Let's see, what would he be called here?
I think he'd probably be called Mike.
Oh, don't you think my mother would like that?
Well, she'll get used to it.
Don't worry, she'll get used to it.
And what's your name?
Motto.
Not Little Mo. I hardly recognize you. Don't you remember me? I'm your neighbor in Castellocco, Big Mo.
Oh, yeah,
you grow up on the back.
Gee, I guess America isn't such a big place after all. It seems so all our neighbors from Castellocco are now our neighbors here on 4th Street. But when we left Russia, you were still there.
Well, you see, soon after you left, the Tsar soldiers swooped down on our village. All of us had to flee. Most of us got out alive. But anyway, let's see. His name is Mike, and you'd probably be called Little Max. Come on, sit down and I'll show you how to play checkers. Come on, Sarah, let Mike play checkers too.
Milo, what are you doing here?
Take your hands off.
I'll teach you not to play in the streets.
In America, children are allowed to play in the streets.
Ich bin sein Bruder, es ist mein Sitz, und wir lernen bei den Öffnen sein, als ein Kind.
Well,
what
was all that?
That's Yiddish.
My brother still speaks Yiddish for his man.
Let's see. He said, it's my duty, I'm his big brother, and it's my duty to teach him to become a man. And to stop all these childish actions. Mother, tell your brother that in America, children are allowed to play in the streets. Big brother or no brother.
What's going on with Eli and the little one?
Oh, hi, Penny. I was trying to tell Eli here that in America, children have more freedom.
Yes. America, the land of equality, the land where any lowly shoeshine boy or floor sweeper can become... look at Morgan, look at Vanderbilt.
Penny, what's wrong with you? Can't you talk to people instead of lecturing the air?
You forget that you're in America, Eli, where anyone can do anything. Well, it could happen to you or even to me. I wrote a poem about it.
Oh, here we go again.
This is a song of Penny, who used to be a greenie. Columbus's state threw open its gate to Swedes and to Russians, to Poles and to Prussians, to men of all hue and even the Jew. They've come from every land and isle to make a living in grand style.
My name is Benny, buy a lemon for a penny. Help me sell my wares by buying my pears. Buy a lime for a dime. My bananas are cheaper than pianos. For a nickel, you can also buy a pickle. Get buy a pineapple for a quarter, and you'll be happy once you bought it.
America, your fame I sing. You have a president or a king.
Some poem, it doesn't even rhyme. Penny and Greeny.
It doesn't have to rhyme in America. If your name was Heavier, you couldn't get heavier. But since your name is Eli, you can go jump in the lake. And if you want to know where the rhyme is, you can go jump in the lake without the rhyme.
Did you know them in Russia?
Well, we lived in the same village. We came over on the same boat. And now we live in the same street in America.
When our boat came over, us poor people were stuffed in a prison for days while the rich immigrants went on to Manhattan without a moment's delay. Well, us poor people had to go through what's that American expression? Rigmarole. They kept asking us questions. What's your name? Where do you come from? Do you have any friends in America? Names and addresses. They wanted to know where they live. What do they do for a living? How can we get in touch with them? And finally, after days of waiting, our friend Fat Pessy came to our rescue. What a sight we must have made sitting on our bundles. We must have looked like sheep. They call this the land of equality, this Ellis Island.
We used to call it Ellie's Island.
Oh, because it used to be belong to a fellow named Ellie who kept all his brains in his belly.
You're writing a poem like that.
And I have the right to write anything I wish.
And I have the right to complain, so don't interrupt.
And I have the right to interrupt.
Penny, what's wrong with you? You're as cross as can be.
Why shouldn't I be? You know, Eli, I almost lost my job. The foreman would turn the clock ahead, so we'd be sure to be late, and then dock us for the day's pay. Well, he tried that trick this morning, and the men got so angry they just walked out. Some America. Where's equality? Where's freedom? Shame on you, Washington. Shame on you, Lincoln. Shame on you, Columbus.
Stop it. Stop it, Penny. You're getting all worked up again.
Eli thinks I should conform, so I will conform. Now, what was all this arguing going on when I came along?
Penny, I was trying to show Muddle how to play checkers.
Checkers? What's that?
Well, you see, it's a board game. You move like this until you get to the other side. Then you're a king. A king can...
There's no kings in America. There's only a president.
What's the difference?
There's a big difference. There's as much difference between a king as a president as there is between Cain and Abel. A king is one thing, a president is another. You're born to be king, but to become president, you have to be elected by the people. If we want them, years, and if we don't, we'll go back to school to teach the kids. And I'll tell you more. Do you realize that even I could become president?
Oh, you president? Even I know that you have to be born in America to be president. And you know very well you were born in Kaskalovka. You can't deny that.
Well, then I'd be mayor. And if I were mayor, you know what I'd do? I'd fix up these old buildings and palaces where people could live like kings. Look at this place. It's falling apart. America, the land of equality, where the poor people are equally stuffed in these small dark rooms, while the rich people share the big mansions uptown. I've seen some of them. Is this the equality of Jefferson, of Lincoln? In America, the people should live like kings.
Now, wait just
a
minute.
Don't wait a minute, me.
Yeah, America,
they're not kings. I know what
they're talking about. Interesting story, Mrs. Treadwell, but I don't know what decision I should make to the Planning Commission. How can I wreck this house, this great historic house? Should it be kept?
Yes, of course it should be kept. Let's tear down these old rat traps, a menace to our city. That's what you should do, yes, that's what you should do.
Please don't destroy this house, a museum, you should make the best. That is the best.
Yes, of course, that is the best.
These houses all are worthless. They're just a waste of space.
How can you say that they're just a waste of space?
Oh, how can you wreck this house, the most elegant in New York? We, the Treadwells, are a wealthy family. This is our house, steeped in tradition and history. John and Priscilla Alden. Oh, how can you tear it down?
How can you destroy this house? It saved my life in 1863, during the draft riots. A Treadwell named Gertrude let me hide in a secret room from the mob. Oh, how can you tear it down?
How can you destroy this house, this haven that was home to us, the Jews who came here in 1913 to find freedom in America? Yes, Columbus's land over this house is a home for us. How can you smash it up? Where's equality? Where's freedom? Shame on you, Washington. Shame. Shame on you, Columbus. Shame on you, Lincoln.
We have seen the history of this old dreadful house.
That we must keep.
Yes, that we will keep.
We'll not tear down this building. Its value is much too great. We pride in our history, a treasure of our state. A treasure.
Welcome you all here, parents and friends and grandparents, and all of you staff of Downtown Community School and other students. We'd like to tell you that we have tried to develop here a graduation ceremony that is meaningful for our school, the kind of ceremony that has to it something more than mere form, that it also has some real meat, and that you see here this evening a good performance of what our youngsters have been doing. But I think that no matter what the ceremony is, it always ends up with one feeling very, very sad and not knowing quite how to cope with that sadness. We are a small community, a real community here in the midst of the big city, and we are very close together, students, parents, and staff. And when a time like this comes, it's very hard. There are people who've been in this school for a long time, there are parents who've worked for the school for a long time, and it is not very easy to take this particular occasion. I'd like to say a word about this class. I told them several times this winter that they are a late blooming class. They have been late in blooming. And I would also like to tell them now that they are very lucky that they have as their classroom teacher this year a very experienced farmer who knows how to recognize the different kinds of plants and when they blossom and how they blossom. And never mind, these come out late in May and they will blossom. And this class really has blossomed. In our school, in the last 3 or 4 years, we have been growing and developing along with the trends of education in our country. And I think that this class is a proud demonstration of what we have been doing. The interest in science that has developed, this is the class that has done so much. Other classes did a great deal, but this class did an outstanding job in science this year. And they had a special science assembly. They took part, big part in the science fair. We introduced French a few years ago, and this class is really Madame Fleischer's prize when it comes to French. But there is another area where we have been developing a very interesting program. It has been our feeling that, and this is, I think, something that is very important throughout the country, that one of the most important, one of the most important things that should be developed in school is the ability to be creative, to take ideas and to work with them and to make them your own. Whether it's in science, whether it's a project in science, or whether it's in mathematics, and I should have mentioned the new mathematics group too. This is the first eighth grade that's had a real introduction in new mathematics in our school. But what I wanted to say was that we are reaching for creativity. We're reaching for the ability to not just to take things in, but to give them out in many areas. And this class has done that. As a matter of fact, they were so creative when it came to the area of writing and writing songs and ballads, poems and short stories that there's a whole assembly program that they were ready to give to the school that they never gave because just such a wealth of material. They were busy on their play and so doing so many things. And I guess they've probably forgotten that, but there were songs and ballads, and that was the assembly that was never given. But this was because there was so much happening, because they were giving so much. And then another thing that we have tried to develop, and that is in our junior high school, we've been working out a program. It's harder to do there than it is in the elementary school. Program where the various arts and sciences mesh together. Where, when you learn about a particular epoch of our life, and you learn about the economics of it, you learn about the flesh and blood and the emotions and the feelings, the life, the experiences that went along with that particular thing. Geography, all of these things have relationships. And this is a very important way of learning because we have reached the point in our world where we're all in danger of becoming specialists of one kind or the other. We're specialists in how people feel, or we're specialists in how people think. But we don't relate together, the people's thinking and their feeling. And we can contemplate a wonderful mathematics formula which can blow up the world. We can contemplate that in our thoughts without feeling what this means in terms of human life. Now, I think this play showed tonight that where this eighth grade learned about our city, learned about housing, learned about city planning, they saw the human side of it, the humane side, the humanistic side, the side that has to do with man's heritage of literature and art and all of that. This is the kind of education that we have been working toward, and we can only sit in our studies and work out blueprints. That means absolutely nothing until you get the person who can take that and give it life. This class has done that. They have taken these new ideas and they've given them life. And so we could talk all we wanted to about the integration of learning. You've seen it here tonight, and you've seen how it meant something to this class. They're not a class that just simply takes ideas, and we're glad for that. they battle with us, and that's part of the whole thing. The back and forth, and out of that, they develop what is meaningful to them, what is a part of their lives. This class has a wonderful record. We're very proud of them, and we're very sad for this moment when they leave, because we could go on and do some wonderful things, but there are other schools waiting for them, and we know that they're going to go to those schools and be accredited to all of us. Now, before we give the diplomas, just a word of thanks for everybody that has had a part of this. I didn't mention the fact that in this community, we do collaborate. And that's another part of the whole idea. The parents and teachers work together. That we try to relate what we are doing in school to what the parent is doing in the home. And that is why I say that after many years together, it's very hard for us to see this parting of the ways. This collaboration, like the relationship in the class, it isn't always easy because we have to struggle through to a common understanding of what we want for our children as parents and as teachers. But the fact that we do struggle through, that we do come through to an understanding is attested by the children that you see here, the wonderful things that they do. And at this time, as a school, we want to thank all of the parents and all of the staff members, and some are not here, who have had a part in all of this. And this is an occasion for all of us together to look back at what has happened, and then, with these youngsters, to look forward to a wonderful future. I do want, before I go on, just to mention a few people in relation to this particular graduation ceremony. First of all, the parents of the class and all of the people who have helped to make this ceremony the beautiful thing that it is. There is someone whose name is not on the program who had a big part to do, and I just want to mention her now because her work should be recognized. Mrs. Isaac was responsible for working with costumes. And also, a former parent at the school who came down and worked a great deal on rehearsals, Mrs. Rittenberg. But I think that another name that should be mentioned at this point is our dramatics teacher, because our dramatics teacher is only here for part of the year, and many of you have never seen him before, and we think he's just wonderful. Mr. Fred Felt, where is he? Well, we'll proceed to the final step in this ceremony. Call the graduates up for their diplomas.
Brown.